They all call it challenging headwinds. And we take a look at Public Radio's Q4 results and see what those challenging headwinds look like. We may be finally, Keith, seeing the end of the Ed Stoltz tunnel. And is it just us? Or are more AM radio station towers falling down much more than ever before? We're going to find out. All right, good morning. We're back with another edition of Media Insultant. We are the only podcast focused on radio and TV in the local media scene, and we offer our opinions and comments. I'm Jackson Weaver in Seattle, and in the City of Angels, my co-host Keith Samuels. Keith, say good morning.
Good morning, Jackson. Bonjour, Monsieur Weaver.
He's helping me with my transition to French as we're leaving for Paris in a couple of weeks, and he just wants me to feel more comfortable. So, bonjour, Mr. Samuels.
And I want you to remember that old Steve Martin routine about how to speak a foreign language. You just speak English in that language's accent. And he does that bit from, I don't know, 40 years ago when he was going, you know, he gets in the cab in Paris and says, I would like to go to the hotel. or I'd like omelette du fromage. So that's all you need to do. That's all, you know, I'd like to go to the hotel and omelette du fromage.
Then I'll have it down. I think I'm going to be leaning a lot on Google Translate, so... Be very.
And then Google will be tracking you all along on your vacation. So there you go.
They track me anyway. Not that anybody cares. So, well, in France or not, we would like to welcome you to the Wednesday, March 15th episode of Media Insultant. March Madness, Keith, it starts this week, and I was interested to learn that March Madness started in 1939, and in that final game, Oregon beat Ohio State 46-33. I guess they played a different game back then because that score is so low. So my question is, first of all, do you follow the March Madness, and do you have any favorites this year?
Well, yes, I follow it. How can you identify as male in the United States and not follow March Madness? So, yes, so that's, you know, I'm genetically encoded to do that. I will fill out a bracket, and maybe we should have an in-town media, you know, bracket contest. And I will follow it. My favorites, obviously, I've got to root for my Trojans from USC that snuck in as a 10 seed, but they're up against Michigan State on Friday. It's not going to be an easy draw for them. And you got to have a dog in the hunt. You got to have a horse in the race. You got to be ready to go and take part in a great American tradition. Small world story though, you know, my high school. I had a coach in high school. He coached me freshman baseball, and he was also our JV and varsity basketball coach. A guy by the name of Tandy Gillis, and Tandy's still alive. And his claim to fame was that he guarded Jerry West. Tandy played for Cal when Cal played West Virginia for the national championship, and he put the defensive clamps on Jerry West and was one of the great performances in Cal basketball history and Final Four history. So hats off to my old coach Tandy and to anybody that's ever played in the March Madness NCAA basketball tournament.
Well, we're not doing a sports podcast, but I do want to mention that apparently CBS and Turner will be broadcasting all the games on television, and radio is, of course, Westwood One. I think Sirius XM has some of the games too. So,
yeah, this is one of the Westwood One tentpole events of the year. This is where they either make it or break it. Super Bowl is great, but Super Bowl is like 1 week, one game, right? One day, one game. March Madness for Westwood One is just sports network gorging at the buffet of advertising delights, because if this is what keeps Westwood One alive every year is the NCAA tournament. And believe me, that you know it, you're going to, you know, all those stations carrying it on Westwood One. This is it for sports network radio. That's why everybody looks up to Westwood One as, you know, the king of play-by-play, because they've got March Madness. If they ever lose March Madness, if Cumulus decides to cut the cord on March Madness, Westwood One's toast.
Yeah, it's their reason to exist at this point.
Exactly.
I agree. All right. Well, you know, the fascinating thing is that for us, the drama that has continued to give and give and give, as long as we've done this podcast, is the Ed Stoltz radio drama. And it looks like it may be coming to an end. Maybe not. But you remember our hero, Ed Stoltz. Well, not really a hero.
our radio villain.
Our radio villain. That's a much better phrase. He's been in court fighting to keep his three radio stations in Palm Springs, Las Vegas, and San Francisco. And as you and I both know and have talked about, he's been litigious beyond belief. He's dragged this out for years and years and years. And now comes word that the judge that just a couple of months ago gave him the keys to the stations again so he could, quote-unquote, work his way out of bankruptcy, has ordered the stations be assigned to a new trustee. And apparently it came to the judge's attention that Ed tends to exaggerate a little bit about the truth. You've admonished me that this is not him lying, but he misrepresented having buyers in the wings. He misrepresented the fact that he would develop a lot of revenue to pay his creditors with the operation of the radio stations. He misrepresented about hiring a new attorney. He didn't hire one, and I can't imagine why anyone would go to work for him anyway and subject themselves to that kind of abuse. So now, in all likelihood, new receiver, stations will probably be sold. What's your thought on this? Do you think that he's going to continue the battle?
Well, he will do everything, as we know, everything that he possibly can to keep these stations, or at least to sell them on his own so that he controls the process. What he can't stand is that this is the court doing it for him. And, you know, he couldn't stand Larry Patrick running his stations. And Larry Patrick sold his stations for $6 million and was going to pay off all the creditors and leave Ed with a couple of million bucks and he could move on. But he didn't want that. So now Larry Patrick, who was a very capable trustee when we started the show 2 years ago, is now a creditor, right? So he can't be the trustee again because he's owed money now by Ed. And yes. So is his client VCW, the company that he had, or VCY, that he had buying the group. Finally, the judge says, this is a big mess. Now we're going to do another trustee. And we're just gonna sell these stations, and I bet you know they're begging VCY to come back to the table at the bankruptcy court to buy these stations again. But they came back with an offer that got turned down, which was $4.5 million. Good luck. I don't think anybody's gonna buy these stations at anywhere near enough money to pay off all the creditors.
Well, you have a theory that Stoltz will come up with a buyer at the last minute. And that could indeed be the case. But, you know, I think anybody who has watched this drama is not going to do business with Ed Stoltz. So that's just
my
opinion.
We'll see.
You know, Keith, I've noticed that when anybody, CEOs are discussing the Q4 results in the recent financial reporting period, every single one of them seemed to use the phrase challenging headwinds. I guess that's, you know, that's what all the cool cats say is, you know, we have challenging headwinds. Well, the earnings season reports here indicate that, yeah, that's probably true. But first up, let's do a quick run through. First up, Keith, how did Cumulus do this year?
In spite of the macroeconomic conditions, you know, they're using macroeconomic, which is basically saying, you know, threat of recession in the overall economy is going to crush our sales. But you know, it was an interesting quarter for Cumulus. Network was down 11%. We talked about Westwood One just a moment ago, but their network business on Westwood One is down tremendously, double figures now, double digits. But local was up just slightly, 2%, and that's in Q4. So for people that haven't sold radio before, Q4, the fourth quarter, October, November, December, is your biggest quarter of the year. This is where you make the most money. It's Christmas revenue, it's holiday revenue, it's the end of the year car sales, it's all, you know, everything jams into the sports are raging, it's everything jams into the end of the year. So for Q2 to be up 2%, wow, that's not fabulous. And here's Cumulus that gets 45% of their spot revenues from national. So between network and national being down, their overall revenues fell just about 3%, 2.9%. So it was a rugged quarter for Cumulus.
What about digital?
Up 7%. You know, and you know, that's okay, whatever. It's now $37 million. They do $187 million total. So that's 20% of their revenue. And you know what? For them, it's just, hey, it's a little bit of an add-on. It's something you got to sell. You've got a digital budget, so you're gonna throw some money at digital plus a spot buy, and it all works out where spot's up a little bit, digital's up a little bit, and network's down a lot.
Well, I'm impressed if they're getting 20% digital, because that's a good comp. That's a really good comp. Okay. Well, today is Wednesday, the 15th, and Odyssey comes out with their report. This has been much anticipated, and I think this could lead to an assessment as the company not being a going concern by their auditors. But, you know, we beat up Odyssey enough, so let's give them a break and see how they did. Okay.
But it is the Ides of March. I mean, what a date to pick. Today is the Ides of March. A2, Brutus?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, here's another knife stab. There you go. Boom. The stock is what? 13 cents? 15,
yeah, 13 cents. To 15 cents, yeah.
Yeah. Not fun. Not fun.
iHeart, give us an update on iHeart, please.
Well, you know, iHeart came out and said, this is about a week or two old, that, you know, it was the biggest quarter in the history of iHeart Media. And, you know, real guys that get in the weeds, like Jerry Del Caliano, our good friend, you know, have found out that it wasn't all good news. It wasn't as great as they all say it is. But on the top side, it was. Their overall revenues were up 6% to $1.13 billion. You know, we're talking Cumulus did $187 million. So what does that tell you about how big and dominant iHeart is in the space?
Their
digital audio group, because they have their company split up and how they report, their digital audio group was up 10%, while the multi-platform group, which is basically the radio stations group run by Greg Ashlock, was up just 1%. So I kind of find that troubling, that you know Greg's one of the best managers in the business. They've got great clusters. So to have the station group just up 1% kind of tells me that there's some headwinds heading into first quarter. And that's what Bob Pittman predicted in their call, is that they're predicting a Q1 decrease of January, February, March compared to last January, February, March in mid-single digits. That's 4 to 6%? They're going to be down 4 to 5 to 6%. So we'll see what happens there. But one of the things that caught me, and January was down 1%, so you know February and March are going to be down a lot more, like high single digits. So we'll see. But there was a little nugget in the reporting that I found, which is during Q4, the digital audio group adjusted sales priorities and commission structures to target what executives called certain incremental revenue streams. But that change in focus, the report said, and I'm quoting, had a negative impact on digital revenue growth and margins for the quarter. And the segment, that means the digital group, has taken steps to realign its sales force's focus back to higher margin digital revenue opportunities. So what that tells me is that the digital audio group really messed up. They got way out over their skis doing commissions and targeting certain revenue streams. So they had to reassess during the quarter, which is certain death for performance, right? Certain death. Let's not do that. Let's go over here and do this. And everybody's going, well, what the hell? And you screwed us on the commission plan too. Thanks. So
I looked at this and I thought, I don't even know what that means. I mean, they make this sound so complex. Basically, they sell advertising. They sell digital. Yeah. They sell audio advertising. This thing didn't make any sense at all to me. And, you know, it's just one of those things that they take out of a boilerplate somewhere and spew it out, and nobody ever asks any questions about it. Okay.
Well, having been a consultant, and you are too, I'm surprised it didn't make sense to you. This is true. This is true consultant speak. Is that they took a wrong turn and think they thought they had it nailed, and they realized halfway through the quarter, which happens to be mid-November, that they were completely screwed and they had to readjust. Well, there's no time to readjust. If you're readjusting in mid-November, the quarter's over. All the business you've done is over. You can't impact the current quarter. What they're trying to do is impact 2023 and Q1 in particular, and going on from there. So we'll have to see if there's any little nuggets of consultant speak in the Q1 report coming out, what, in late April, early March.
Yeah, early May. But, you know, I just wish they had just said that. Okay. That would have been so much easier. Salem, yeah, they're down about 0.5%. And, you know, Salem, I think, frankly, the problem Salem has is that they're somewhat constrained because they have so many AM stations. Most of those AM stations are conservative talk, which is becoming less and less popular with the agency buying. Their audiences are aging out. Now, they do have some FM stations. They do, you know, contemporary Christian radio in, yep, in multiple markets. But it's getting to be a tough battle for all the stations they have. Even their digital was down, and Salem's done a good job with digital. But it was the big thing is the operating income was decreased by 92%. I have no idea what that was about. And I want to remind you of one other thing. This quarter had some political in it. They didn't talk about political, or not that I saw. But if you're down 0.5% and you've got political, that means the next couple quarters are going to be tough. Okay, Town Square. How did they do?
Oh yeah, yeah. Town Square, the greatest radio, radio and digital group in the world right now, had a blockbuster quarter. Their net broadcast was up 4%, but their net digital was up almost 12% at 11.9. So their digital divisions are continuing to do very, very well, and their broadcast division is kind of on par with where every other group is in terms of on-air spot revenue.
Right, right.
But what I couldn't figure out of reading all the stuff about Town Square and Digital First, and they're just, you know, it's all over it. It's Eric Hellum and Bill, what's the CEO's name? I forgot. But you know, Eric Hellum, who runs the radio stations, is a really good manager. I mean, he's a solid talent. And so for them to be in such small markets, to be up 4%, that's great. But what I couldn't figure out of what they were saying was do these numbers include the acquisition of Cherry Creek? Because remember, they closed on Cherry Creek radio stations back in May or June of 2022. So now you have, this is the second quarter with those stations in there. So I think that if that's the case, then they've, you know, that helped juice the all of the revenue figures, but certainly the net broadcast number. So,
well, you know that Cherry Creek stations are in those numbers, and yeah. I guess, you know, you'd think that the Cherry Creek stations would have made a bigger impact on their net broadcast income, but maybe not.
Yeah, clearly, you know, it wasn't enough to move the needle a lot. Although, you know, you've got their digital group moving into those markets that they bought from Cherry Creek and selling their subscription marketing services and services. And you can see where that's the tee off. That's where they're going first. Yeah, we'll keep your spot schedules, but you know, you need to let us handle your website for the next 3 years on this contract. So we'll go from there. But this was also one of the first quarters that Saga reported after the death of their CEO, Ed Christian. How did Saga do?
Saga, according to Chris Forgy, Saga has Saga electricity surging through the organization. And that's Chris. He's a very, you know, yay, go, go kind of a guy. And I think he's a good leader from that standpoint. And, you know, he talked quite a bit in the report about a survey they had done and the satisfaction that the people on their team had. And they really are the people who work for Saga, and I know some of them. They do like working for Saga, and they particularly like working for Chris. And I think that that's going to show. And the truth is, and this is to their credit, when you don't have any debt, you can spend money, you can invest in people, you can invest in resources, you can invest in capital expenditures. You know, they're the only ones who don't have any debt in this this circus that we're talking about, publicly traded radio.
Shocking.
But, yeah. Well, they were up about 6% for the year, but they had only a 3% increase the final quarter. And without political, it's less than 1%. So it's slowing down. It's slowing down. But they're doing a pretty good job. Total digital was up 25%. That's 7% of their gross revenue. So they're behind the curve that Town Square or even Cumulus has. But I think Chris is going to do his best to try and grow that revenue. The problem, of course, that Saga has is they don't own the tools. If you don't own the tools, it makes margins really tight. So
yeah, no question about it.
So anyway, and then of course they had an impact on their dividend because the company had to pay Ed Christian's estate some kind of hunk of cash. I don't know how much, but I'm sure he's smiling from beyond the grave. Not only in the way the stations are being run, but also because his family got another kick-ass amount of cash.
We love you, Uncle Ed. Thank you.
All right. Well, finally, you know, Keith, Idaho Falls is a town that a lot of our listeners have never probably even heard of or even aware of. It's a market of, about, I don't know, 7,500,000 people. It's north of Pocatello, and you can see Rexburg from Idaho Falls.
Wow.
You can.
Okay.
And for decades, there was a station there, KID, obviously a three-call-letter station, 590, serving all of eastern Idaho, 5,000 watts. Mm-hmm. And last week, Rich Meekum, who you and I both know from his time as GM at KSL, he was the licensee. He turned the license into the FCC. And we've been seeing AM stations having their licenses turned into the FCC. It's becoming more and more common, particularly low power. The equipment wears out. The towers get rusty. There's no money on AM. The audiences are going away. So we're seeing a lot of them being turned in. But there's more to this KID story. A lot more than seems to be.
What's that, Jackson?
Well, some of this is speculation, but here's the background on it, Keith. It seems that the owner of the 40-plus acre lot where KID had their three-tower array accidentally knocked down one of the towers. Whoops! I don't know how you knock down a tower.
Well, don't you knock over one of the wires that holds the tower in place? You know, the big cables that are anchored out in the out in the far distant corner of the property.
That's exactly it.
And then that goes and twang, the whole thing comes down, right?
That's right. But how do you cut the tower? How do you accidentally cut the tower? So
wire cutters?
Yeah, Sawzall. Well, in an interesting twist, Rich got into a disagreement with the owner over who really owned the tower. For some reason the farmer thought he owned the tower. And Rich is saying, no, we own the tower. So they were trying to disentangle the ownership issue, and the landlord took it into his own hands, and he removed all the broadcasting equipment, destroyed the transmitter building, and knocked down the other two towers.
No way! Oh, my God, that's horrible. What a jerk. Come on.
Well,
to do that to Rich, our buddy Rich?
Yeah.
That's
why I say I think there's something else going on here. See, KID's programming is actually simulcast on two full-power FMs.
Okay.
So, you know, at the end of the day, did Rich need the AM? Yeah, I'd been there for a long time. It had three call letters, but they're expensive to operate. The towers and all the equipment deteriorates. It's expensive to fix. It's expensive to maintain. The land can be used for other things other than four towers. So, accidentally, you have your towers come down. Then you call your insurance company. And you call it a day.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, the towers came down. You know,
yeah,
here's
exactly
my claim. Okay.
Well, and we saw this a couple of months ago with vandalism in Greensboro, WSJS, where vandals cut down those towers. And the twist on that story is that the vandalism occurred just exactly on the same day the FCC happened to approve moving that multi-tower facility to one tower with a reduced power elsewhere. So the owner of WSJS
right,
didn't have to pay for the tower to be taken down, didn't have to pay for replacing him because he was going to move it. So he saved a hunk of money and got an insurance claim, too.
Well,
I'm just saying.
I hope Rich gets an insurance claim out of this. I mean, come on.
And that's the thing. So I'm not saying that these are intentional. I'm really not. But, you know, it's getting to be a little funny. How do you knock down a 400-foot tower? Which is what KID's tower was.
So this is like an in-town media insultant conspiracy theory thing going here.
Okay. That's it.
I got to get you that coffee mug that says, I need some new conspiracy theories because all the old ones came true. So I'll get you one of those for you. So, okay.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to that next week. Keith, I think we're out of here. I think we have we have stirred up enough hornet's nests here. We'll be back next Wednesday with more of our comments and opinions. And, of course, the podcast is available on all the podcast platforms under Media Insultant. And the video is on Vimeo under Media Insultant Showcase. We love your comments anytime. Jackson at intownmedia.com. And, Keith, let's go see what happens with the March Madness.
I can't wait, Jackson. Go Trojans. Here we go. Fight on.
I'll see you next week, buddy. Thanks.
Take care.